Mishnah, I think the last Mishnah in the Perek. And the last Mishnah in the Perek, which deals with, I guess, what could be considered a third topic of the Perek. If you're a kind of person who's interested in doing, lumdish topics, so you can get into the whole sugya of Knas, Moda B'Knas Pater, because this is sort of a very brief version of the sugya. If you want to use this as an excuse to do the din of Tzoros B'Nizakin, I don't know if any of you are familiar with the sugya, but Chatzi Nezek Tzoros, which is an interesting din in its own right, is the only situation of Chatzi Nezek that everybody agrees is considered Mamon. It means if you have a chicken and he kicks pebbles and they do damage, that's called Chatzi Nezek. An animal that's walking and it kicks some pebbles and the pebbles go flying and break Kalim. So that's called Tzoros, and Halach LaMoshe MiSinai is that you pay Chatzi Nezek, and that Chatzi Nezek, according to everyone, is treated as Mamon, not as Knas. But anyway, this is the sugya that briefly goes through. The issue is one of the sugyas, but it's not the main sugyas at the end of this parak. So, kindly reading for me was Weinreich. Parak Gemo Mishnah Tess. Okay, I normally don't venture into correct vocalization, but pasisi I think would mean to break into pieces or something like that. Pasoso so pipim. Okay, but pitisi, okay, pitisi es bito shalponi, like mefat as a PL, so let's go with that. Pitisi es bito shalponi. Okay, why does he pay boshes to pagam? Okay, and he doesn't pay the knas because that's an interesting formulation. That's one formulation. There's another way of formulating. You say because he admitted it. You're arguing that mode b'knas is pater, but that's a leap beyond what the Mishnah actually says. Yitzi?
Maybe it's
No, no, but that's the same he's saying. What? No, that's what he's saying. Mode the b'knas pater. There's something what's short of that. Ain't other mishalim k'nas al piyatsma.
There's no proof that he needs to pay it per se.
A person doesn't pay k'nas only on his own admission. Ezra Shimon, and I'll explain. There's a difference between the two. Yeah.
It says v'nim
That might be a mocker in theory, but I'm just conceptually speaking. What's the difference between Ein Ada Mishalim Knas Al Piyatzma and Moda B'Knas Is Pater? Yitzi? Betty, I'm sorry, Sharon.
There are Edim also.
Well, if there are Edim, okay, so what would the difference be? Go finish it. Spell it out.
If there are Edim as well, then it's not, then they would have been able to be the Chayim without
it. Oh, you're jumping ahead too far. You're on the right track very much, Sam.
Kind of.
Well, that's what you're going down the same road he does. I'll explain very briefly in a moment how that plays out in the sugya Bava Kamma. Moda b'knas pater suggests that if you are moda, you exempt yourself eternally, even if edim come later. And it's moda b'knas ve'achar kach ba'o edim. What the two of you were suggesting, Benny and Sam, was that this idea that since you didn't trouble us and so on, whatever it is, therefore you're pater, which would suggest moda b'knas ve'achar kach ba'o edim is pater. You raise the question, what if the guy knows that the edim are coming? So what if ro edim mash v'shinu b'ayim? The way the sugya, there are three deos, I think, in Baba Kama, in Perek Merubah, about this issue. One deos says that moda b'knas ve'achar kach ba'o edim is pater. One says moda b'knas ve'achar kach ba'o edim is chayev. And the third one says that it depends. If your hoda'ah was mechayev you something, if it was mechayev you something, then it paters you on all knas. But if it wasn't mechayev you anything, it's not a patur. What's the example? Person comes and says ganafti, so he pays keren because of his hoda'ah, and therefore if Adam would come and say he stole, he doesn't pay kefal. Why? Because his hoda'ah, by the way, this is Spence, for those, I'm not doing attendance today because I'm not reading the roll today to know the names because not everybody's here today, but that's Spence Whiteson. Mazel tov, Spence. Okay. So if you're moda, the ganafti, you pay the keren, you mechayev yourself keren, and therefore you're pater from kefal. But let's say you already got caught by Edom who saw that you stole. So now you chayev kefal. Now you say, you stand in front of the judge and you say, Your Honor, I am deeply sorry, I must confess, not only did I steal as
the gentleman here have said, but I also slaughtered or sold the animal. Tavachti umacharti. So based upon, everybody agrees that based upon my admission, I don't have to pay, I only pay kefel, I don't pay the full dalad v'hei. But what if Aden comes subsequently? So if you really held that moda b'knas kach bo Aden is pater, namely that the hodah itself is poter, then you would be poter. If you're moda b'knas kach bo Aden is chayiv, then hodah is never a poter, it's just that you weren't chayiv that day, now the Aden come to mechayiv you. But if you adopt the middle position, in this case you're chayiv to pay when the Aden come later because your hodah came cheap. It didn't cost you anything. Whereas when you're moda that you were ganafti, so then your hodah is costing you something, that hodah actually poters you eternally from the knas. So even when the Aden comes subsequently and say, yeah, he stole, it doesn't really matter because he was mechai himself Karen, therefore he's poter on the kefel. So that's the distinction here between moda b'knas is poter versus ein adam mishalim knas al piatzma. Okay, continue. Sam, question? One second.
There's another thing also with, like, you can't marshia yourself, you can't make yourself with Russia.
Well, no, that's asher asher lukim prat lemarshia es atzmo. But that only tells you, you don't know, does that tell you that the hodah is a poter? Or simply, and that unless it's alpi dayanim and alpi edim, that you don't pay?
That would be more similar to the arcanists. Yeah.
Prat lemarshia es atzmo, minimalist is that eina mishalim alpi atzmo. Yeah. I don't know if the Gemara's formulations adhere precisely to my distinction, but conceptually, those are the two different ways of looking at this principle. Okay, go ahead. Right. The lacuna in the mission, of course, is what if you Adam already caught you on the Geneva, and now you say Tavachti Macharti? That doesn't say. Okay. Go ahead. Hamis. What are you paying? Well, to the shore. And what about killing a person? What happens to the shore?
It
gets killed.
And you pay
kofar. You pay kofar only if it's a muad. Do you, what about killing the shore here?
Yeah.
What? Absolutely not. Remember, one of the examples of when they talk about a nogeach being pasul lamizbeach, how is it when you pasul lamizbeach? It's also lehedyot. They kill it. So what's the answer? Shehemis al pi erechad al pi bailim. So in other words, kemisas adam kach misas ashor yisokel v'gam balav yumas. The general rules of jurisprudence, maybe not all the din of Hatzalah, that apply to a person, apply to an animal as well. You need a Beis Din Shel Chaf Kimmel, and you need Edim, you don't need, yeah, you probably don't need Hasra, I suppose you don't need Hasra, I'm sure. Do not kill. What's that? That's not warning the Shor, though.
No, but as in, you can't.
I know, but nonetheless, you don't kill the owner in that case. I don't think that's the equivalent pasra. That's to undo that's for the mamon of the bailim, probably, for the kofar, not to even kill the shore, is my guess. Because you kill the shore even when it's a tam, even the first shot. First time the shore kills, it gets the death penalty. It's no hasra there. Neither for the bailim, neither for the shore. Okay?
Tom kills it also
again? Absolutely. It's a pasuk in Chumash.
Right,
yeah. It's one of my Rishachter likes to ask sometimes on a kol entrance bechin if ever taking one. He says, okay, can a woman be a nazir?
Yeah. Right?
And the answer is, ish o isha ki afli lim darned a nazir. And sometimes it's just a pasuk in Chumash, right?
How do the pasuk come? One of the other ones are also, why do we stand during Kiddush Abadah, sorry.
Well, Bai says,
that's very similar for you to say. But not everyone realizes that.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay, but that at least is not a pasuk in Chumash.
Right,
but it's in the Siddur. It's in the Siddur. Okay, fine.
And everyone's like, I don't know, because we're outside.
Okay, fine. All right, so anyway, continue. So this is regular mamon. However, Hamis.
Hamis Shuri Abdo Shaltoni, in a Mishalim Al Piyat.
All right, so what's the din if your shor kills an eved or an ama? Im eved yigach hashor or ama kesef shloshim shekalim yitain ladonav v'hashor yisakel. So if someone says hey mishori abdo shaploni ein mishalim apiatzmo, and the Mishnah says
zakhal kol mishalim yoser alma shehizik ino mishalim apiatzmo.
Right, which the Gemara then modifies, because this would suggest that what is the din of Chatzi Nezek? No. It's only you don't pay if he's more than you damage. So the Gemara says, Einu kol she'enu mishalim kamosha hizik. Okay, fine. Again, so Pshuto Shemikra, we mentioned already, one could argue that the Shloshim Shalavad and the Chamishim Shalnara is not a knas, it's just it was Dibar Kasa Behova, what was the typical value. Now, the flip side, because you could say, is that the Torah knew that by an Eved, not all of them were clearly of equal value. I imagine even if there was a standard fixed price, if someone had an unusually valuable Eved, let's say he was a talented and an incredible musician, right? So the Eved could certainly, you know, if he could play the violin and part of the Mesopotamian, you know, symphony orchestra, so presumably he would have been worth more. But nonetheless, the Torah assigned a fixed value. So you could say that's why, even within the Pshuta Shemek, you say that's why Chazal treated it as knas, because it's fixed. It's not subject to a routine evaluation. The counter to that would be is that the reason why the Torah assigned a fixed price is because it may have been sufficiently commonplace that Avadim were getting mowed down by Shvarim that they decided it was worth, the Torah thought it was just wiser to assign a fixed value. Don't know. But anyway, so Shloshim Shel Eved could be worth more than the Eved and could be worth less than the Eved. And the same thing is true would be true with the Chamishim. If you were assuming a fixed value, it could be worth more and less than the sum total. Okay. Let's go into Perek Dalet. Take one more Mishnah. Binyamin? Atusa. Period. Which explain?
That Anara, if she's seduced, then the bosh is not the gam and the knas go to her father, but the pain goes to her.
No. No. No, 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 no. Benny? In a case of tfusa, which means ones, right? Usfasa v'shachavima. So in the case of tfusa, the tsar as well. The tsar goes to the father, which is interesting. Why?
Because why on earth would it, like, what is it about?
Well, that's the question.
Yeah. So you said it's interesting. So, yes, why it's interesting?
Oh, okay, fine. So the bottom line is that, if we come out, we'll talk about it, but the assumption is that it's almost in the category kol shevach nu'urim la'at. I don't remember in this case if they say that the, where's the statement of Shnei Chalakim? It's not in this Mishnah. Somewhere in the Mishnayis, they talk about dividing. It depends on... where is it? I don't remember. Where they talk about it depends on where the embarrassment... Oh, maybe it's by a husband. That maybe it's a different case. Not by Onei Semafata. When someone injures her or shames her, so the question is, you know, they depends on public, private, and so on, and which proportion goes to which spouse. Okay, anyway, for now, that's what the Mishnah says. Amda Badin, go ahead.
Amda Badin, Avshalom, is Harehen Shalav. If they go to court before her father dies, they go to her father.
Which means what?
Even though, I guess, if she can have Bulgaris.
No Bulgaris here. Even though the father died before...
Oh, he died before it was collected.
Before, I would say, I'm collected before the Psak Din. For the Gemar Din. Even though that hasn't happened yet, nonetheless...
It goes to him.
Whereas... And... Why?
Because they're Yoresh.
Because they're Yoresh, right? There's a very interesting, important article, summary article on this issue of tradition that just arrived. Rabbi Bleich always writes the survey of contemporary halachic literature about whether dead people can own property. And the whole question, I only skimmed it, but one of the questions is the need to write a halachic will, which Ramosha was the opinion that you didn't. But the whole discussion actually revolves around this question. Can dead men be machna and so on? And we usually assume not. We assume that Yerusha is Mameila, but the point is that just as you are Morish Nechasim to your children, you're also Morish Zechuyos. You are not, by the way, Morish Chovos, except to the extent that they are connected the money in the estate. And that's a man owes $1 million and he dies with $20 to his name, and that debt, the children do not inherit the debt, but that the $1 million can be collected from the 20. Whereas if a man dies and he has debtors who owe him $1 million, the children can collect on that money. That money belongs to them. So then, in effect, they yarshin the zechuyos, but they can't yarshin the abstract chov. Yes, Binyamin.
And then if her father dies before
before the gezeirah din, but they've already gone to court, and the mishnah says he gets the money. Who exactly is being paid here?
The brothers.
But then the father gets it, not the father gets it, not the brothers.
Well, no, it at shalom e sa'av. So, oh, you mean in the. It's just a precursor to the statement of them that if the father should die, that goes to the brothers. You're right. In other words, you're correct. Literally, you're correct.
So father would be the brothers at that point.
Correct. Fine. Lois speak.
Lois speak a lama b'din ad shemesa. They didn't get to the court before father died. Or even shall asma. Amda b'din ad shalom magrav. They start.
That's the equivalent of what really. If the father was dead when she was raped. In other words, and it's a very novel idea, and I mentioned this, alluded to this last week. This is not what one would have expected, and is not the way we usually think about dinei mamonos. The hischaivus, typically speaking, of mamonos is when? Of mamon versus knas is when? B'shas ha-nezek, b'shas ha-halva, that's when the chiyuv takes place. In other words, if I am mazik your property, I assume that the obligation for, let me give you lamashal. A little bit complicated, but there's a machlokas in the last Mishnah of Baba Basra, the Gemara in the last Mishnah of Baba Basra, whether shibud daraisa, shibud lav daraisa. Shibud daraisa means a lien, whether the concept of a lien is daraisa, L-I-E-N. A lien means I lend you money, you incur some type of a debt. It means I have the right to collect your property, and even if you sell that property to somebody else. So if I borrow money from Hillel, and I write him a shtar, I mean, and it says I owe him $100 as of August 31st, 2014, and I borrowed $100,000 from him, and now I go sell my house. So in halacha, if I can't pay him or don't pay him back $100,000, he can go to whomever I sold my house and he can collect from that. That's, by the way, in fact, when you buy a house, one of the things that's done in American law is the same principle. It's called a title search. Is that you have a company that goes and looks to see if there are any liens against the house. Usually when you buy a house, there's usually one creditor who certainly has a lien against the house from the previous owner, which is the bank, unless the mortgage was totally paid off. In fact, when you buy a house, and the way it's done now is when you buy a house, the bank actually owns the house until you pay off the last cent on the mortgage. But typically in halacha, it wouldn't have been that way, but the bank would have a shibud that would take precedence over anybody else who might buy your house, and if you didn't pay the loan back, they would be faced with either having the house seized or they would have to buy the bank off if you couldn't. Okay, so there is a concept of shibud. It's machlokas whether the concept exists midaraisa or not. Everybody agrees lamaisa. There is a nafgamina, but not for now. But everybody agrees lamaisa that a shibud only works by a shtar, a loan, and if by loans, shibud only works by a loan and a shtar, not by a milva al peh when you only borrowed in front of edim, having to do with whether or not people find out that you have debts against you. A shtar has a kol, and therefore everybody finds out. Now let's just talk about one specific. Now I'm going to assume for the moment that shibuda daraisa, and midaraisa. The maskana of the Gemara is not clear, but let's assume for the moment it's daraisa, and let's assume also midaraisa, it doesn't matter whether it's the shtar or not. The din is that if I incur a chov of mamon from you, so that you have the right to collect from the people who bought my property. Okay, let's assume the din is limited to karkos. What the din midaraisa would be by metalton, I'm not sure, but the din only applies to karkos. Now, supposing the following happens: my animal damages your property. Okay, nezek creates a chov. Now, what happens now? The Gemara has a whole discussion in Kiddushin about milva ksuva b'torah ksuva b'shtar damya, and this relates to whether or not a chov that the Torah imposes, nezek being one of the examples, has the status of, even though there's no shtar, of automatically getting a shibud. So let's just work on a daraisa level for the moment. Let's assume that when I mazik you, there is a shibud that is created mid daraisa on my nechasim. So here's my question: when does the shibud begin? From the time of the damage, or from when the court case starts? So I would have thought that it's from the time of the damage, right? So that's what's very odd about this particular case, that we don't say that here. We say that, and they're not talking about shibud here. Here they're talking about shibud is only necessary to collect from things that other people bought. In other words, there's two kinds of shibudim. One is called shibud nechasim, and the other is called Shibur Haguf. Shibur Nechasim means on my assets, no matter where they went, my land at least, no matter where they went after I borrowed the money or incurred the debt. Shibur Haguf is my personal obligation to pay back, and if you listen to the Nusach of the Ksuba tomorrow, or you read the Nusach of the Ksuba, Afilu min glimad al kasvai. Shibur Haguf is even from Metalfalin. Any possession, any things that are in my possession right now are subject to the Shibur Haguf. So granted, our Mishnah is only talking about the Shibur Haguf, yes, but if normally the Shibur Nechasim sets in at the time of the Nezek, certainly the Shibur Haguf, where you don't even have to worry about somebody else hearing about it. My personal obligation to pay you from whatever assets I own, not that which I've sold, certainly should begin from the time of the Nezek. So it's a very interesting din here. And whether Ones and Mefata is different, I don't know. Yitzi?
Couldn't that be seen as sort of support for the idea that take the minimalist position that Ein Adam Mishalem Knas al Piyatma, that really where the Knas can only be if you take it to court, and we're bringing along...
Well, see, otherwise, see, that points in the opposite direction. In fact, one of the... There's this sugya, I thought I mentioned this, maybe it was to somebody in Seder. There's a sugya in Makos, and there's a Gemara in Daf Hei, a very important Gemara there, which seems to be discussing, you look, there's a Tosis and a Ricky Vager there, seems to be discussing the question of what is the Shah HaMachayevus of Knas. So Knas, I understand much more, that Knas might be either the Shas HaMa, the Bedin, which might be the point at which we would say it's too late to be Mo there, or at least the Gemara Din. We would say that that's the Machayev of Knas. But the Mashmos would be that the Mamon, you're Mishayev from the time of the Nezek, from the time whenever that debt is incurred. And the fact that the Mishnah distinguishes between the Pekam and the Boshas, and maybe the Tsar, at the end of the previous parak, of Hodah there versus the Knas, would have been exactly, I would have assumed that the Knas, unless you distinguish between Tchilas Din versus Gemar Din, and say Tchilas Din is the Mechayev of Mamon, and the Gemar Din is the Mechayev of Knas, unless you make that distinction, so what is the difference between, in other words, why should Hodah work on these in this Mamonos if you're not Mischayev in the Mamon until you walk into Beis Din? It's a little odd. All right, well.
I understand, it only works on Knas. It doesn't work on Kvotet or whatever.
No, what, the Hodah?
Yeah,
but I'm asking why not? In other words, let's say I want a question for you. If I am Modeh to you outside of Beis Din, I'm Modeh that. I was Mefata your daughter. So I have a question. Let's say you don't want to go to Beis Din. We just come and ask a Shaila. We go to Rav Shechter and say, Rebbe, said, am I chayiv to pay the Knas? Am I chayiv to pay the Boshes and Pagam now? There's no Din Torah. The answer, I assume Vaday was yes. You don't have to go into Beis Din for the Hodah to work. If I turn around and refuse to pay you, you might have to drag me to court. You might have to bring Eidim that I was Modeh to you, that I was Mefata your daughter. But at the end of the day, I would have thought that if I did the damage, I have to pay. If we're good people, and even if I'm Masek you by mistake, I accidentally hit your car. We don't say you have to go to Beis Din. If we're civilized people, I just pay you the money. Not because I'm likely to be Mischayim Beis Din, because I'm Chayiv to you the money. So that's why this din is a very odd din. The Knas, I understand. Unless you want to say what? That this whole thing is only on the Knas?
No, it's attached.
Maybe.
To the Knas.
What?
I just think they're
okay, so that's a very big Kiddush. Unless you want to say that the rest of this Mishnah is only on Knas, maybe it's Meferish. I didn't, maybe it's Meferish, but unless you say it's only on Knas, it's very odd.
So it's a back.
And I don't think it is. I think all the other Nezakim go to the brothers. I think that everything goes to her. If the father dies before Hamad Abedin, everything, not just the Knas.
So maybe that's why it is, because we have this unusual relationship between
maybe.
Her and her.
By the way, this is not the only, there's another odd din. What is it? On the topic of Moshe, Zach, this is what you had asked me about. There is a very interesting discussion about the Boshes here versus regular Boshes. I'm trying to remember how it goes. This might not be right. So then there might be more than one din which is unique by Onei Semifata different from other Nizakin. Yeah, it's possible. Okay. Is there another question? Sense?
Sorry, can you explain the difference between Shibu Nechasim and Shibu Nechasim?
Shibu Nechasim is on my properties, and it means even though properties that I land, things that I subsequently sell. So the halacha is if there was a halva bishtar or something that constitutes the equivalent, so then I can collect from stuff that you sold subsequent to the hischaivus. Where shibra guf means my personal obligation to repay, and that's only from the chasim that I own. Moshe?
Yeah. Why isn't Boshe that type of kedas?
Zach, that was the point I was discussing. There is a there's a funny line in the Rambam. You remember it's in Hilchos Chova L'Mazik. He writes something very funny. He writes that if you're modeh that you're mazik someone, so he says that when you're chayev on boshes, because when you walk into Beis Din and you're modeh, you humiliate him. That seems to be addressing the question. Why do you think boshes is a knas?
Because, like, you were describing animal going into field eating my vegetables. Then I've lost vegetables.
So there's nothing tangible, right?
Yeah.
So the Rambam sounds like, and Oni Simafata could be maybe the exception. That's what the Acharon talk about. So the Rambam sounds like, by standard Nizakin, Boshes Yerchayev, only because if you're Modeh and Beis Din, is that what he said? When you're Modeh and Beis Din, you're Mevayish him right then. You're not Chayev on the original Boshes, you're Chayev right then. Something like that. And that sounds like he's addressing that question exactly. In other words, in a chanami, just for the fact that I'm modeh, I would be potter. If not for that, you're re-experience. And it is true, by the way. In other words, if I humiliated someone and then I retell the story, even in a judicial setting, there is humiliation suffered once again. That's what the Rambam sounds like. It sounds like it's addressing that your question. That in a chanami, that knas, that boshes would have been knas, except for that when you modeh and beis din, you're humiliating, you're repeating the humiliation then, and that's what you're chayav on.
So it's still a knas, it just the knas happens in Beis Din.
Correct, and therefore.
The Gemara is pretty clear that Boshes is mum.
I know. I don't know what to do. So, but Boshes, which Gemara? The Gemara here.
A lot of Gemara.
So that's what I heard him say, that this Boshes might be different. And I didn't take
Boshes
the time
of, what?
Of the Onis and Mefata.
I mean, that Boshes.
Yes, yes, yes. Which would do away with a lot of your Gemaras, but in the Mishnah, it's a topic to be mamikin. If we get to this Mishnah Mir Tashem at the end of the year, then we will deal with that. And if you nudge me enough during Seder, I'll have to go figure it out, you know, before the end of the year. Okay, and Yitzi? Well, which ones? Pigam is because he's got to marry off the daughter on some level. Boshes, I can explain also because it's not only her shame. Again, you know, it's the family shame. The knas, whatever, that doesn't have a specific reason. Tsar is the very odd one. Tsar is the very odd one. You know, as a parent, when your children are suffering, you suffer also. Might be true, not just your children, especially your children. But still, on some level, it hurts them more. As you'll discover as a new parent, Yitzi, that at the times that they hurt and often experience terrible things, they suffer and you suffer, but then they heal very quickly, but the scars remain with you forever. Okay, it's the thing that my father would say to me, is you only understand when you're a parent. Okay, fine. So Tsar is the one that's very hard to explain. That's very hard to explain. I mean, yes, the father does experience anguish, but how does that compare to her anguish? Not quite the same.
Whatever the reasoning is, can we assume that the brothers who are now your age are also going to, with the scoot of, you know, collecting the guns, they also have to marry her off, and therefore they sort of have a right to it.
So the truth is, there is an assumption that when a father dies, that the daughters get a dowry from the estate. It's a discussion of the Mishnah, I think, in the 6th Perek in Ksubas. There's a whole machlokas at Tanaim. How do you decide how much to give her? Based upon if he already married off a daughter? Based upon... what the assets are in the state. Rebbe, I think, was Misake, and Rebbe held a tenth, I think, a serious Isur Nechasim. In fact, some of you may be familiar with this, in the term Isuraisa de Bei Rebbe. What that means is when you have to give multiple tenths, and it's applied else in other areas in Halacha, it means, in other words, if the guy had 10 daughters, does that mean it's the entire estate and the sons get nothing? The answer is no. First one gets a tenth, the next one gets a tenth of what's left, but then they turn around and redivide it up. In other words, by the time the daughters are finished, they do get equally. So that's called that term when you when we take miser from produce, you take multiple misers, the second miser is 10% of what's left. That term is called an Isuraisa de Bei Rebbe. Okay, fine. So this is a very interesting din. Again, if we're only talking about the Boshes and Pagam,
If only talking about the kanas, I would understand it, but I don't think that that's the case. I think that when the father dies before Ahamad Abedin, everything goes to the daughter. I might be wrong. Okay, continue. Right. Okay, so this is an interesting case where the Bogeris will collect something that she would never have been able to collect had it happened when she was a Bogeris, but it happened when she was a Nara, and therefore he's chayev in these things, and if she turns into a Bogeris before they have Hamad Abedin, then the money is all going to go to her. Okay? Which is interesting, by the way, because really, what does it suggest about the mechanism of Knas and all these things going to the father? Sort of, right. In other words, she's a conduit to the father. We have a principle, Masha Kansa Isha Kanabaila, and the same thing applies even more so by a daughter. In other words, by a wife, that is almost certainly a Takana de Rabbanon and may be subject to modification. You know, a woman says, Eini Nizonis for Eini Osa, as you might have seen in the previous Bekias or hinted to there, it was Beferish. No, it's not, it's in Tosis. Eini Nizonis for Eini Osa, we Paskin, a woman can do that. If a woman is a stockbroker or a stock analyst on Wall Street and she makes $1 million a year and her husband's a Kolel Yingol, so then she can say, you know, what's nice, I like you, you know, I'm happy to support you, but I keep my earnings. You don't have to support me. You don't have to feed me. I'll take care of it. It means that the money belongs to her. And he doesn't have a claim to that. In fact, I think that that's the way certain dayanim today, paskin generally, in marriages, that we assume by when a woman is working by default, especially if she's making more money, that she doesn't have to say eini nizonis v'eini osa. I'm sure that there's batedin who don't hold to that principle, but it seems mistaber. It seems to me in a case of a situation where a wife, for sure, whether it's no matter which part of the community, if the wife is supporting the husband. Not just they're both working. If she's supporting the husband, it seems a double pusher. She doesn't have to say any zones vienosa because he's failed to fulfill his basic obligation as a husband, which is vana eflach v'ezon, as you see tomorrow. Okay? Yes, Mati.
Is she able to like switch between that? Is it written in the Suba, or is it like she can say that at any point in marriage?
Any point she can say any zones vienosa. There are things that if you want to do, if you want to prevent Yerushas Habal, if you want to, which today we do by, in secular, by different means, we do with trusts. That can be done, especially if Yerushas Habal is the Rabbanah, maybe everybody agrees, but it has to be done before Nisuin. In other words, it has to be done, you know, after Erisin, before Nisuin. But as far as I know, the Mizonos Takana, anytime she can decide, any Mizonos Veniosa. Yitzi?
Do you think that this case would... she becomes a Bulgaris before the case is tried, but she's a Naro when she's raped. Right.
Correct.
So this case, do you think this creates a bit of a problem with the idea that the reason that the father gets the money is because she is the property of the father, and when she is raped or seduced,
his property.
His property, he loses out. His property has lost its value. He loses this 50. But here we're saying it seems like something that, you know, I think changes things up a bit because he doesn't.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. It sounds like even though the father is Zocha, it's really she's a conduit. It's through her. And it's not quite that she's his property,
right.
But he has certain monetary zechuyos that accrue to her. He has. Because, in a sense, he has responsibility for her, he receives those monetary zechuyos, but once his reshus over her, the link, is broken, then any monetary zechuyos that come to her go to her. I'll give you another example, which I think the din is the other way, and the Mishnah says it beferish, actually. And this is the difference between, it's not always true, in other words, her masayadeha. Masayadeha, if she works when she's a Nara and the money's supposed to go to the father, and now she turns into a Bogeres and he hasn't collected yet. And we don't say that she gets the Masa Yadayim. Let's read on in the Mishnah for a moment. That's the next line. Ooh, so Rabbi Shimon has a totally different position. He makes it sound like it's not the Psak Din, not the Tchilas Din, and maybe not even a Gemar Din, but rather
the actual collection.
The Gevia, the collection, the collecting. Okay, then the Mishnah says, Mesa'av. Okay, so that everybody agrees that the Masa'edeh and Mitziyasa, the Gemara has a common Mitziyasa, because Al Pipsha, it doesn't make any sense. what gviya is shayach by mitzia. It's when she finds the object. If she finds the object when the father's alive, it immediately goes to the father. He's zocher, yadok, yado. If she's dead already, then she's the melech
v'shus atzma.
No, as soon as she picks it up, especially if she's a nara, who has a yad to be zocha, it's the father's immediately. By a katana, the katana would be the interesting question, because a tana, katan pick, or katana pick up a mitzia, so you're not allowed to do this. It's rishus, but if you steal it from them, minatora, you haven't violated gezel. Because a katan, that's gezel, it's either darkei shalom or gezel mei darkei shalom. That's a mishnah gittin, right? You feel like there's like one of those jokes that floats around, you know, the boy who has two $50 bills and someone in the parking lot comes in and steals one, and the boy is crying, and another guy comes on and says, what happened? Well, I had a $50 bill, another $50 bill, and someone, I cried and cried and no one could hear me come to help. So the man looked around and said, and grabs the other $50 bill and goes, there's nobody around to help the kid. That's rishus, obviously. There is some joke about that. I don't know exactly how it goes. I didn't tell it well, but bottom line is, that's usur, but it might only be usur, it's only usur in the Rabbanon. I mean, it's usur in our Torah. In other words, There is morality that would clearly dictate it's aser, but judicially speaking, it's not actionable except for the takana. And it's a machlokus whether it's even actionable in the rabbanim, whether takana was just it's aser mean shum darkei shalom or gezel mei darkei shalom. I think the gemara says nafka means lahotzi v'dayan. Yes.
I mean, if everything that she acquires goes straight to the estate, you know, whether the father or the brother or something, what's it? So then obviously, you know, it could be the tzar is really hers, but in the end, it automatically goes.
Okay, so you could say that could be, but it's still a little odd. In other words, normally, I mean, okay, fine, I'll accept that. Leave that for now.
But that could also maybe provide a reasoning of why we delay the, you know, incurring that few, because if she really, this is, we're talking about an hour, like by the time they get to Beitin or the time they collect, like,
well, I don't know.
Almost,
I don't know. You see the brothers egging their father and dad. Come on, get the base then. Get the summons. Okay. All right. Fine. Dalit Beis. Okay. Dalit Beis. Who was going to read for me? Ezra Shimon. If you've been asked, if you've been imposed upon to read recently, you can tell me. I might ignore it, but go ahead.
Aris Espizo, Nigirsha, Irasa, the
Nisarimala.
So
this is a general din you should be aware of. And then this, again, establishes the distinction between Eris and Nisuan. If a father's Ma'aris' daughter and she gets a divorce from Erisin, she's still Bushos Aviyah. Knows Nisuan is what's Motzi HaMrishos Aviyah, and therefore he gets the Ksuba. No matter how many times. I mean, it's a little strange situation, but, you know, like the black widow of Ksubas. Go ahead. Hisia. Okay, but if he's masi her, and either she gets, she's technically speaking, in the first part of the Mishnah wasn't A and B, it was A or B, because you can see from the second half it's A or B, but by Averson it doesn't matter, even multiple times, I believe the Ksuba goes to the father. However, if he's masi her, she has Nisuin, not only Averson, and then she's either widowed or divorced, then Ksuba Shalah. Because she is no longer Bishra Sa'av, and the money belongs to her. Rabbi Huda Omer. He says the first Ksuba by Nisuin goes to the father, apparently because he was the one who was Masi her. Amrulo. Right, so if you think about it, what does this Machloka seem to be about? On some level. Yitzi?
I think the father's power over the daughter, like, her responsibility over the daughter. Because I think you see in the Machlokes with Rabbi Yossi Aglili also, he says something similar that I think...
No, because Rabbi Yossi Aglili would say the father could marry her off again after Erison, but the din, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is really a din in the Xeris HaKosav Asher Lo Orasa.
Right.
It's not about, it doesn't right. change, she hasn't changed her status in terms of her father. She's still Bershuso after Erison. But here, after everybody agrees, after Erisin he can be Mekadosher again, after Nisuin he can't do anything. Why then should he get the first Ksuba? That's the question. Benny?
Say we market a violated Yitzia, and he was the one who was able to get the Ketzav Kedushin, so he can get the...
I don't think he's Zocha Lekabel Gita, though. I don't think so.
No,
not after Nisulin.
Only
after Erisin. In other words, by a Ketana or a Nara, the father should be able to be Mekabel to get on her behalf without her even pointing it. It's a Yadoki Yada in this case. But not after Nisun, I don't think. I don't think Rabbi, you'd be saying something else if you want to, but Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say that. He's talking about the Ksuba. What's going on, Yitzi?
I think the argument's about it's sort of a retroactive.
Say, when's the Mechayev of Ksuba? Is it the original Kiddushin that eventually leads to Nisuin? Or is it really the time the Ksuba has to be paid at? Now, the Shibud of a Ksuba comes from when? From the time of the Kinyan and the date. Some of you know that there are some rabbis who try to be very careful that if they're being Masadur Kiddushin and Shkia comes, they want to date it later, which actually creates its own set of potential issues. So Ramosha had this Chumrah. Mekublani me Rebbe, Ramosha after that. We don't worry about that. Said, as long as you date it when the Eidim make the Kinyan, as long as you don't predate the Kinyan, when the Eidim make the Kinyan at the Tish, you know, with the Masadur Kiddush, not the Eidim, when the Chosan and the Masadur Kiddush on behalf of the Kala make the Kinyan on the Ksuba, you can, and you put that date, it's fine. It doesn't matter if the Chuppah takes place at night after Shkia. Because in that case, we say Eidim Bechasum of Zachinla. So it's not a problem. But, so I would say that clearly the shibur on the ksuba is from the date in the ksuba. But the question is, what is in effect the mechayev here? Is the mechayev, you know, the death of the husband, or is the mechayev, you know, the writing of the ksuba or the shas nisun right before it? It seems to be a parallel machlokas a little bit to the previous Mishnah. Right, of course, when, in other words, in terms of dictating who collects a particular monetary debt, a mamon, when is the mechayev in terms of directing to who collects it? That's the question. Okay, one last din in this sugya, and then the mesechta then moves on to daf mem vav, which is standard marriage. Okay, when they're married, the chiyuv of a husband to wife to husband, and so on. Go ahead, Mishnah Gimel, read Ezra Shema. Hagioras.
Hagioras Gesgaira Bita Iwa Zanta.
Okay, so a Gioras Shinisgaira, which as you know is a little bit redundant, like the Torah says, Ki Pol Hanofel Mimenu. So a convert does not convert, a non-Jew converts, but a Gioras Shinisgaira, Bita Ima, that she converted and her daughter converted with her, Vizinsa, and then she commits adultery as a Nara Bisula Meorasa. And let's assume for the moment she converted less than the age of 3 and a day.
Which means it's the daughter, or which means the mother? Because they could either.
The daughter. And it wouldn't make a difference. No, the mother, there's no havamina. The mother is not a psula. Unless it's virgin birth. Okay.
Or if it's a dissemination birth, which is entirely possible.
This is, as we've discussed, yes. Highly unlikely.
If she had a daughter, her psula would be broken anyway.
That'd only be a mukaseitz, though.
Yeah, we're assuming C-section.
And Mukase, but Mukase also doesn't have Dinib Sula for this Sukkim, so he wins.
C-section. Of course, Mukase.
Thank you. Okay, next. Okay. I should know better than trying to match wits with you, Metzger. All right. So anyway, so Harezo Bechenek, right? Even daughter is an Arab Sula Marasa. Nonetheless, she is Bechenek. Why? Because Ki Asasa Nevala Be Yisrael, there's no space of you. She's not be Israel in that regard. Okay, there's no din of Pesach Beisavia if she doesn't really have a father anyway. There's no din of Me'asela for the husband Motzi Shemra against her. Fine. Now, there is one. Now, the Gemara will learn this, I think, from a Pasuk, which is very interesting for one particular reason. What is the interesting reason? Chaim, this really goes back to your question about the mother, actually, in an odd way. What is odd about this? When does the daughter become Jewish?
As soon as she converts. I'm not sure if you know when she's 12.
What's going on?
Actually, it depends on how you view the whole thing.
And is this the Rais or the Rabbanon? So we're not going to do this, because we're not going to get this year. But if you're interested, the whole sugi of Ger Katam is on Daf. What did you say?
This is
Ger Katam, is it? It's on Daf Yud Aleph in Ksubos, is the main sugi of Ger
Katam.
You're thinking about the tvila of a gioras is meuberes.
Oh, okay.
And that has a major impact upon the question of surrogacy. That's the Gemara there. Of course, the Gemara's maskana is not entirely clear. But the main sugya of Ger Katan Matbilan Sadas based then is on Daf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph in Ksubas. We're not doing the first parak, so unfortunately we're not likely to touch upon that. But anyway, this Mishnah sounds like in the Gemara's Pasuk that the Gir is Daraisa. And the question is there a difference between Gir when a parent comes with the child versus Gir when it's just the child? All right, that's an interesting question. Anyway, put that aside for a moment, but realize that the Mishnah raises this question. Okay. Continue. What does that mean?
She was
conceived.
She was conceived before her mother was Jewish, and she was born after her mother was Jewish.
Okay, so the Mishnah says.
Harezo b'skila.
Harezo b'skila. I just want to point out something, which implies what?
Which implies that she wasn't actually. She's not considered a Jew. Or wait.
She gets skila. In other words, her mother converted when she was in utero. She's then born when her mother, after mother's converted, and she gets skila. What does that suggest?
Mishnah's pro-choice.
She was never not Jewish. Well,
very, very clever. The issues might not be Hava Hatalia, but fair enough, okay? In other words, my question for you is, It implies that the child, the daughter, is not born. The daughter is not a convert. She's born Jewish. In other words, the Gemara in Yivamos Chaim in Daf Ayin something is a little unclear. I think Ayin Zayin is unclear whether or not it's that the tvila on the mother goes on the vlad as well, and the mother doesn't constitute a chatzitza for whatever reason. That's when the mother goes to the mikvah with the child in utero. Or what really we say is that the child is born Jewish because the child is born to a Jewish mother. What Yitzi, and his cleverness there, is suggesting is an issue that I talk about when it comes to surrogacy. This Gemara itself, it's not clear what the maskana is when is a child's status determined? Is it at conception, which would make it more likely that you look at the egg donor? Or is it the birth that gives the child its status, in which case the mother carrying, the birth mother. It's based upon a different Gemara with twins in utero. That's the issue. Not in your case because it's two boys and it's a yibum. What's the status of? They're not. So let me add one detail here. Read the next line. Ein la pesach beisav. I'm sorry, you read it. Ein la pesach beisav. Sit me'asela. Why is there no pesach beisav? She doesn't have a father. It doesn't matter whether the father was Jewish, biological father was Jewish or not Jewish at the time of her conception. She doesn't have a father because any bond to the father, a goy and a goya who have a child, the child is connected to the father. There is yichos for a goy. He's connected to his father. But if there's a conversion, it severs any conversion of the mother with the child in utero, severs any connection, halachic connection. So that's the question about whether or not whether the brothers who are born, who are immersed, when the mother immerses with twins in utero, are those brothers from the mother? They're not brothers from the father. So the question is an Isser Eishes Ach Midoraisa or only Midorabanan? And the answer is Midoraisa, which suggests that it's the birth that gives them their status, which suggests that the surrogate mother, not the egg donor, is really the mother, which could lead one to conclude also that halacha is pro-choice, that life doesn't begin until birth. That's not mochrach necessarily, but it is certainly a possibility. If you assume that this is part of the definition of what ubar yerach imo, or ubar lav yerach imo means, and that is an impact, yes. Vadvar maruchim. Yes, Vince.
You said that if the mother converts while the baby is in utero, it does sever the connection with the father?
Yes. I mean, if the child converted afterwards, it also would sever bonds to mother and father.
But I thought we were considering this child always Jewish.
Why? Correct, but the father has no impact on whether the child is Jewish or not.
I understand.
So if you believe that it's the birth, and by the birth time the mother is Jewish, so the child is Jewish, born Jewish.
Right, I understand that, but why should I sever the connection to the father?
Well, it was the gayrus of the mother with the child. If a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman have a child, the father is not halachically the father of the child.
I understand.
So this is no different. What's the difference? Now, the gayrus is severing it.
The mother's gayrus.
The mother's gayrus is severing it. Oh, let's not. This could be a special sheer topic some point down the line. I didn't want to my troublemaker in the back made trouble here, so yes.
Why is there no
He's sleep deprived because the twins probably, right? Okay. Okay. I'm just kidding. Yes, Ezra Shimon.
Why is there no Me'asela?
Because it's all... it's Nasan Laviana Ra, yeah. Probably. I think we just borrowed the wrong pasuk. Okay, fine, my mistake. Okay, and finally. I stop. So in other words, Harasa Ledasa Bekdusha. So this is the interesting. So I know, no, it's not Daniel. That's not correct. The Gemara must have a Yalfusa because the next case of Harasa Ledasa Bekdusha. I don't know, that may mean if the father's not Jewish. I'm not sure. So I don't, and if the father's dead also, we give it to her. In other words, it's more complicated. The Gemara has some drush on it. I think it's a reboy or something like that. So whatever it is, you go look in the Gemara then.
What
it says, Harry Yuvas Yisrael al-Davar? So, Rasa it means Mea Sela, and even though she may not have a father, in accordance with the next line. But in the previous line, Horasa Bikdusha Leidasa Shalob Bikdusha, Horasa Shalob Bikdusha Leidasa Bikdusha, so she gets Skila, so in that case, why is there no Mea Slime? It's not because she doesn't have a father. She doesn't have a father in this case also, Horasa Leidasa Bikdusha.
No, but I'm saying, do we ever disengage the issues of Esaf Besav and Mea Sela?
We, not for those two, maybe. Well, yes, because if she has no Pesach, if she has no Pesach Besav, he's still a Mea Sela. As if there is mamish, no Pesach Pesach. There's still Mea Sela.
So at the end of the Mishnah, well, now we're Pesach Pesach, yeah.
Le Mitzvah. But why then? So by the case of Harasa Shalob Bektusha, Ledasa Bektusha, so who cares? So she has to have a father, so what? So the answer is, and it can't just be, well, she has to have a father, even if she has to, another, Ein La'av. Right? Yesh La'ein La'av. No, it's not ma'akev. So I think it's based upon a special deris not kasev. Because Horas to split the skila from the me'asela and the other stuff. All right, leave it for now. Finally, finish the mishnah, Ezra Shimon. Right. Lo nemar. Mitzvah. Right. Okay, it's a mitzvah lachatchila. Okay, fine. All right, so tomorrow, we're going to stop here. Tomorrow, we will read the Ksuba, and if we may have some time after that, and I may want to point out a few things in the Midrash Halacha, a couple interesting passages. I'm not going to read them all. Those of you who got through more got through them. Those of you who didn't, it's okay. And then on Tuesday, we will, God willing, begin the Sugya. One comment about the Sugya that I gave you. I put some of the material in smaller font, because if you are not moving quickly, so you can skip over that. There's a large chunk of Agada Yevamos. If you're going to come to me, you know, halfway through Seder and say, or on Wednesday and say, well, I'm finished, so you should have been reading the Gemara Yevamos. But if you're not, then you can skip over that part, that Agada. It's a fascinating Agada about David and the Givonim. In general, I'm going to try to do that with the Makoros, that people move at different paces in Seder, so those of you who move faster, I'm going to keep you busy with other things. If you finish that, you can do Bekiyas, and those of you who move a little more slowly will not miss the point of the Shir, and those you'll be able to get through the Makoros that are essential for Shir. I'm going to try to balance that. Okay. Any question about that? Yeah, go ahead.
Why would she have an Av, but not Pesach Besav?
Why would she have
an Av, but not a Pesach Besav?
Because they don't have a house anymore. Right, and as they
apartment building.
Fe. Okay. Apartment building even better suit, you just push her off of the skin. Okay. Fine. Any other questions about this material? Okay. We will stop right.